Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood, tips and tricks,
products we love,
and brands that we can't live without. Let's get into it.
Hello, Zoe. Why do we always laugh?
Hello, Georgia.
How do you start?
All right.
Hi, love.
All right, mate. What's happening in your world? I'm going to tell you something here. It's going to absolutely blow your tiny mind.
Me.
Right? Okay. So my husband told me, Dozer told me that, you know, when you're driving in a car, right, on a motorway or, you know, just on a road.
Yeah.
And then there's a... Oh, God, this is going to make me sound so fucking stupid. And then there is a speed camera, one of those yellow ones that,
yeah,
you know, is up by the side of the road. I did not know that when you drove through that speed camera, on the road, there are these little white lines.
Yeah.
And that tracks your speed, and that's how you get caught speeding. So it's to do with, like, how quickly you go through those white lines.
Yeah, of course.
No, not of course. I've never noticed a white line.
What
those
did,
white
what
lines.
Did you think they could see your dash, like your dashboard?
I thought, I don't know. I thought it was something to do with how quickly you whiz past it. But no, mind blown. It's
so,
the white lines.
There we go, everyone.
Zoe for PM. Zoe to present news night. Listen, stick with me, guys. I'm full of the useless info. But now I see these white lines everywhere. I've seen them.
They are. They're there all the time.
But I've been driving for 20 years and I've never seen them before. So, and I, every time I say it to Dozer, he just pisses himself. So anyway, that's what's happened in my week. What's happened in your week this
great.
Week?
Well, actually, I've got a parking fine this week.
Well,
there's no lines on get a parking fine.
You shouldn't.
They just see you park there and they give you a fine.
You kind of look proud of yourself. Is that because you've done something really naughty and you never do anything naughty?
No. It's just funny. It's just a funny parking fine because I get fined all the time. I think I've paid for the Dartford crossing.
Why don't you set up an auto charge?
Because we lease cars and we're not the registered keeper. You can't, otherwise I would have done.
Well, who's a registered keeper?
The lease company.
So you can't do it if you lease a car?
No, I think, well, you, some companies you can, but it just depends who the keeper is.
This
I don't
is
know.
Going off this, on a real this,
right, we don't need to talk about cars. We're not here to talk about driving.
We're here to talk about nudity, because this week is about finding a new you and finding your identity again after having your kids. And you are obviously only 5 months into having Gigi. After
yes.
Having Gigi. Are you struggling with identity?
Not so much this time. The first time, definitely. We both went from living in London, working in London, to living in Cheltenham. I feel like that the whole having your work taken away from you is a huge deal.
Yeah.
And also just finding another way to fill your days and fill your mind. I think it's quite tricky when you first become a mum.
Yeah, absolutely. And you are very different because you're not just looking after you. You're not just, it's not numero uno anymore. You've just got this tiny, wonderful creature to look after, and it's all about them. And as they get older, their needs increase. You know, now we've got two kids each, and I've got Isla, you know, my stepdaughter as well. And your whole world is filled up with looking after somebody else. And suddenly you're like, what about me? Like,
yeah, exactly.
What do I want? Who am I? What are my needs? What are my lusts? What are my desires?
Yeah, and sometimes, like, people don't change at all and they just go back to being exactly the same person as they were before with kids. But I think a lot of mums and dads evolve and find maybe strengths that they didn't know they had.
And things that they're more passionate about.
Exactly.
And things that matter to them more, actually.
Yeah. And I think sometimes when you've got children, you've got another priority. So you almost don't care about other stuff and you'll go for things that you really believe in more.
Yeah, and you could really say that comment about the person that we're chatting to today. She has got such a big voice on Instagram. She's opinionated. She's out there and she makes no qualms about it. She'll say it how she thinks it should be said. So yeah, the person that... Oh, she also loves getting naked. So I like her. I like her enormously. The person that we're chatting to today is Natalie Lee, aka Starmy Sunday. So as you know, Georgia and I love to meet a powerful, intelligent, funny, confident woman, and the woman sitting opposite us today screams it across her Instagram, and when you meet her in person you're like, yes, I feel it, I absolutely feel it. She has grown her Instagram to 74,900 followers. She has coined Friday Finger. I knew I'd say it wrong. She's fashion, but she also loves getting naked. In with us today, Starmy Sunday, aka Natalie Lee.
Oh,
God, I just introduced you on the head with my flinging hand.
Got too excited there, Zoe.
How are you?
I'm very good. What an introduction. I mean, it can be Finger Friday if you want it to be.
Fingering Friday?
Let's bring fingering back.
It's taken me 5 seconds and we're already talking about fingering. This is my favourite podcast ever.
I mean, it is my favourite thing to do, so, you know.
Yes. How many t-shirts have you got? Daily.
A lot.
Daily. I don't know where to start because there's so much that we want to talk to you about. But I guess let's talk about how you've kind of grown your online presence and what that platform, Instagram, means to you.
How have I grown it? It's grown very, very, oh, I hate that word, but organically. I haven't really pushed it. It's just resonated with people. And if they like it, then, you know, they share it and people are attracted to it. So it's been a really long journey for me. I started when Instagram first started. But I love Instagram. I mean, I'm a very visual person and I get a lot of inspiration from Instagram and I learn a fuckload of things.
You can swear.
Good.
Yeah.
Swearing is fine.
I learn a lot. I mean, I've learned so much about different people who I would never normally connect with. So, yeah, it's been great for me. And I think when I started, you know, when my children were very young, I really struggled with loneliness and identity, and Instagram was a way of creating a community and finding out about people like you, but also people very much not like you. And yeah, it kind of fulfilled both those roles for me.
I think it's quite common when you become a mum that you sort of go through this identity crisis thing. So you might have been a career woman, everything, your whole world revolved around your career, and then suddenly you go off and you have a baby and you're suddenly like, oh, okay.
Who the fuck
Who
am
is
I?
This now? Yeah, I don't have my job and I don't know what to talk about anymore because that's what my whole life revolved around. And that, you know, yeah, like you said, like going through that, trying to find like-minded people, staying in touch with your old self, but also finding your new self. Did you go through that kind of journey?
Yeah, I think for me, the hardest thing about having children was not having my own income. That was really, really tough for me. And it was a very big, like, I don't know, it was like a bit of a power struggle, really. How do I, and my ego, obviously, my ego gets in the way. It's like, how do I ask somebody for money? Or how do I talk about, you know, I don't know. It's just,
we never talk
just
about
so
it.
Uncomfortable.
No, we don't. Yeah, we don't talk
it was
about
so
it.
Uncomfortable, no. And it was like, you know, are you going to give me an allowance every month? And that makes me feel like a fucking kid again.
Yeah, exactly.
And like all the power's completely taken away. It just represents so many different things. And when you have children, you don't know who you are anymore because you do give up your life. And I think for me, that usually was, it lasted about 2 years after I had children. And I really felt that I completely put my life on hold and I'd lost myself.
Did you want to put your life on hold?
I think before I had children, I was like, yes, I'm going to be like the most amazing Mother Earth woman. You know, there's going to be lots of cuddles and I'm never going to shout. And I'm going to waft around in a floaty dress with flowers coming out of my hair. But that... yeah, that's a fantasy.
I think that
and
should
very
be a
romantic.
Thing. Before I had kids, I said, and then just go through all the things that you said you wouldn't do.
Yeah. That's so true.
Shouting is a big one.
Yeah.
I never wanted to be the shouty mother because I don't shout. I'm not
Me
a shouter.
Neither. I'm like, quite calm. Yes. I'm like almost horizontal. But, you know, there's something about children that just like they know those buttons to push, don't they? And they really, really go hard and poke them.
We were just talking about that they've got a way of making you feel guilty about leaving them, you know, especially when they can start speaking, you know, before you just get the crying and the hysterical face at the door. And then you get, don't leave me, mummy.
You don't love me.
I'm just going to go and get milk.
It's that you don't face. Love me.
That face.
Oh, no.
So do you feel like once the kids were out of nappies, you've got two girls, 6 and 10. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like you've had a rebirth?
I think it's happened gradually. I think it's happened slowly. And you start to claw back who you were before you had children. I don't think it happens for everyone, actually. Like, some of my friends are very, very happy being that mum at home. Yeah. They don't want to go out and get drunk and do shit anymore. But I still do.
I still do too.
That's why she's hobbling around at the moment.
it just comes back slowly and gradually you claw your way back to who you really were beforehand, whilst hopefully still being a good mum. I think it, for me, I don't think I could be a good mum if I didn't have that other side of me that was allowed to have a really good career and you know, go out and get pissed every now and again.
Were you always, because part of your Instagram is, you know, you're very passionate. You're very passionate about subjects and we love you for that. Like, I love Finger Fridays, Fingering Fridays, Friday Finger, where you basically just stick a finger up to whatever's really irking you. So were you like this before you had your kids, or have you kind of, you know, found that voice and found that inner strength?
No, I was definitely like this before. I was very opinionated and very vocal about my opinions before I had children. I think actually some of that was dumbed down when I had children, and then I slowly started finding it again. And that was part of the loss of identity. I really felt like I wasn't... I didn't feel myself. I wasn't, you know, being my, I don't know, true self, I guess. Because... I felt dumbed down. I just felt like I was a lesser version of myself, I guess.
When the girls were little?
Yeah.
And were you going out to like mum groups and stuff?
Oh,
or were
God.
You like staying at home? I know, I feel the same.
I fucking hate nursery rhymes, but I did.
Oh, come on, the wheels on the bus isn't
no.
an absolute tune.
Oh my God. It's like, just
fuck
kill
off.
Me now, man. I pushed myself to go out to mum groups. The only one I actually like maintained going to was one where there was a really hot fireman who used to take his kid. I was like, yeah, I'm going to come to this one. I don't care if
what,
I have to sing
that?
Nursery
has
rhymes.
Had any more kids since?
He's long gone. But yeah, no. I did go to groups. Sorry, I got lost in the whole fireman thing then. I did go to groups and I didn't like them. And I remember coming home from groups and just being in tears. And I was like, why is everyone else's child really good, really like sleeps through the night? They seem to be totally in love with their kid. And like, and my husband was like, but they're lying. They're just not telling you the truth. I'm like, why the fuck would any mum lie about how shit it can be? I was like, I don't understand this. And I guess that's what spurred me on to start the whole blog and Instagram. I wanted to talk truthfully about, you know, the ups and the downs of it. And I just didn't think there was enough women apart from like really close friends who would actually be honest and say, actually, it's fucking shit and I'm really tired and sometimes I really hate my kid.
Yeah.
We talk I'm about this. We do. Such a good picture, aren't I?
Natalie, we talk about this all the time.
We do talk about this all the time. I told my son I wasn't mummy the other day because the word mummy literally made my body freeze. I'd heard it so many times. I was like, you know what? My name's not mummy. And then the next day that we went out and my husband plays football and he's going, go on, James. And everyone else was going, go on, daddy. So we're absolutely
no we're on
you.
That vibe. I mean, I regularly tell Luna that I can't parent her anymore when she's like, I can't parent you anymore, I'm stepping out of this. She's like, but yes, I don't even know what that means. I don't know either, but this is fucking hell. No, we get it. We talk about it. And I think you do go through those months, years where you feel like you're never going to come out of that, and you're never going, you know, you give so much to them all the time, and yes, it's the best thing you ever do, but wow, gosh, you definitely take a knock in yourself.
Yeah, you do. And I just think more people could be honest about that. And it just helps, doesn't it, if you're able to have those honest chats.
And it doesn't make you a bad mum.
No.
I think it just makes you normal. Like, I feel like if you don't feel like that and you don't have really down days, then I'm not sure. Truthful? I'm not sure if you're being truthful to yourself.
No, hell no. You couldn't be on a high all the time. It's just impossible.
So fashion, but also loves getting naked.
I do love getting naked.
Talk to me about the nakedness.
They call me Naked Nat among my friends.
We're going to call you that for the rest of the podcast now.
I think I started getting naked because I was shocked at how little we saw postpartum bodies in the media. I think it's a lot more prevalent now, especially with social media. But when I started getting naked, it wasn't, you didn't see stretch marks and you didn't see like wobbly tummies and saggy tits and things like that. I think, you know, whenever I have derobed and shown it in all its graces, people have really resonated with that, and it's made them feel good about themselves, which is really addictive, and it really, you know, makes me, that's why I do this, that's why I do what I do. I think I used to be a midwife, and you know, supporting and encouraging other women, that kind of thing just, it kind of it really resonates with me, and that's what really helps me, makes me tick.
Did women used to talk to you about how they felt about their bodies after they'd given birth? Yeah,
all the time. Do you mean when I was a midwife?
Yes, or you know, in general.
I mean it's so funny, one of the first things a woman would say is, oh, I didn't actually have the time to go and get waxed. I'm really sorry about this. And I was like, do you know what? If I was really bothered about how hairy your vulva is, like, I'm not the right midwife for you. I will have no idea in the next, like, day how much hair you had on your vagina, so it's fine.
Is that the first thing? Because I think I said something similar. But I think I said I got my husband to shave it. And my husband was like, fucking shut up.
We don't care.
We don't want to know.
We just want your baby to come out.
Exactly. So isn't that amazing? So even in that moment where you're giving birth to a human being, people are worried about what their vulva looks like.
And really apologising for it as well. Exactly. And I think that's just women all over, isn't it? I think we apologise for ourselves and we're so used to adapting and, you know, trying to be something that we're not really, because we've got all these standards and these rules that tells us that we need to change ourselves and be different to fit in with how we're expected to be.
Are you trying to normalise? Is your mindset behind... Well, what is your mindset behind doing it? Is it to normalise?
Yeah, just to make women feel like they don't have to change and adapt themselves to be amazing, to be the best version that they can be, to go out there and be opinionated, to earn money and to do things without saying sorry for doing it all the time.
Yeah, I think women apologise a lot, don't we? I'm always saying sorry. I'm trying to not say sorry, actually. And we're trying to learn how to say no as well, aren't we, Zoe?
Oh, yeah,
that's
so
our
powerful
thing at the moment.
No and fuck off. Very powerful. Very, very
powerful.
It'd
be like, no, sorry, I can't fuck off.
Sorry about my hair, but
fuck off.
could you fuck off? Oh, no, you can't fuck. Okay, no worries. Sorry about that.
It's just too much. It's just the constant feeling of having to do too much, I think. But I mean, we wouldn't have it any other way, but it is. We've been talking about stress quite a lot because the stress levels rise the more you say yes, and sorry, really yes and do. Sorry, yes and sorry all the time. Mm. I think there's something very powerful about standing back and obviously putting the finger up. Like, yeah. Fuck you is also another word that you love saying.
Yeah. And it's about boundaries. I'm a very, very big believer in having boundaries. And, you know, you've got to establish what your boundaries are. And if somebody oversteps those boundaries, or if you allow somebody to overstep those boundaries, you have to recognise that and then reassert those boundaries. Just basically to keep yourself sane. Mm. I think we do try to do far too much and take on too much. There's, you know, so many roles that we're expected to be: wife, mother, lover, you know, friend. And we want to be expert at all of them, but it's so much pressure.
It is.
Yeah, you
so please. Yeah, so go on.
No, because I was just going to say that you came, what was it, about 4 weeks ago, Georgia, and just said, I feel like I'm not doing anything well.
Oh, yes.
Doing lots of things, yeah. Kind of okay, but not really. But, you know, I'm not actually nailing one thing because I'm spreading myself so thin. So it's about setting those.
I think all women feel like that.
Yeah. Mm.
Even if you haven't got children, I think it's something that we really do. We want to please, and we want to do everything really well, and that just puts on so much pressure on us.
I sat on a panel a couple of weeks ago, and it was about balance. And so everyone else on the panel was a woman, and there was
one guy. It feels like this is a key word at the moment.
Yeah,
balance. Everyone's asking about balance.
Yeah, and so there's four women and one guy, and we went along, do you feel like you've got balance? Every woman said no and explained the various reasons why they didn't. And the guy said, I feel like I've got balance. Yeah, I'm totally fine. And it basically came to it that, like, say, for instance, when my kids are asleep, I see that as an opportunity to do other stuff, do everything else. Like, I can get loads of stuff done when they're napping. Whereas my husband, on the other hand, would see that as time for himself,
yeah,
and to do something for him. And mm-hmm. He wouldn't feel guilty about that.
So we should take more of what they think.
Yeah, and yeah. It was a common theme in this conversation that the guy just couldn't understand why we would want to take on all this stuff. And he was like, but why would you do that, though?
It's interesting, though, because
you've got an hour, watch something if you want to. Like, if that's what you want to do, do it. And we were all like, maybe we should.
Yeah.
Are you quite good at kind of setting those boundaries for you? Like, have you got things in your life now ordered?
My life is definitely not ordered.
But with your boundaries.
The most chaotic, unorganised person you will ever meet. But, yeah, my boundaries, I'm quite firm about my boundaries. Mm. And if I do need a rest, or if I do need to say no, if I do need to cancel a meeting and have a massage, I will do it.
Right.
If that's going to make me feel better and I'm going to be better than, yeah, the next day.
I love that.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm going to channel my inner Nat next time. I'm like, I don't want to go to this fucking meeting. I'm interested to find out. I'm to kind of delve beneath the surface slightly on this nudity and body, you know. I love watching your body on Instagram, but I'm interested.
So do a lot of people.
A lot of people love it. What you think is missing from the media? and what you think is missing from the press and what you think is being shown and what isn't being shown, because that's really what we're talking about here, really, is that we're only seeing one type of body type.
Yeah, I mean, things have definitely moved on from just seeing white, blonde, skinny women in the media. They are lots more brands coming up that are showing a diverse range of body sizes and different ethnicities, which is absolutely brilliant. I think there's still a lot more work to be done because it's still fairly niche. I think it has to be across the board. And you know, like for when you look on brands' websites, you still see the same kind of women on the websites. They're very a similar sort of ilk. They're all models and they're all a similar sort of size. So it'd be really nice if there was that diversity in the sort of one-off body positive campaigns that there was on the sort of standard websites. I think I would love to see that more.
Yeah, when you're shopping, we were actually earlier trying to find Zoe a dress for tonight, and I said to her, do you know what? It's actually just so hard to shop. Like when you're looking at one body type, you can't imagine what it looks like on someone else.
And that's why Instagram has been so successful, I think, especially with fashion, because women love seeing clothes on people
other women
who look like
exactly.
them.
Yes.
And you can tell what it's going to look like on you because they've got tits and so have you, and they've got a bum or some hips, and you know, it's just really nice to see that reflected. And then you'll go, oh yeah, I can get away. I can rock it.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think that's why that's the kind of Instagram and social media has filled that hole that was lacking in the media for so long. But slowly the media is definitely, you know, trying to claw it back and become a bit more inclusive.
I just feel like there's still so many stereotypes out there that haven't been addressed or modernised or looked at, refreshed. For example, take the real mum label where, for example, I won't be used on a job because I don't look like a real mum. How much more of a that's been said to me.
Really?
How much more of a real mum do you want me to be? I've got three, you know, two children, a stepchild who I, you know, adore them all, work hard, look up, mother them, look up, but I'm not a real mum.
What does a real mum look like?
I'm not allowed to. Well, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
What's
that's
a real
bizarre.
What's a real mum and not a real mum?
But I also feel that if you are a mum, it's very one-dimensional. You can't be a mum who also enjoys masturbating and having sex and going out drinking and doing drugs. But, you know, it's very, you know, you have to be this one type of mother who is very kind and lovely and says please and thank you and sorry.
And not where's my dildo.
Yes.
No, we don't like that at all, because we feel that that's not a label, that shouldn't label you as to who you are. That's just a part of your being. You know,
well, we're multifaceted, aren't we?
Yeah.
And we can still be all of those things. We don't have to be a one-trick pony. And I think that's the problem with the media in general. They like to put you in a box and they like to put you firmly there, and you can't deviate from that at all.
So you want to break down that stereotype?
Yeah, absolutely.
Self-servicing?
Yeah, why not?
That email that you sent me earlier on, that you were like, I can also talk about self-pleasuring. And we've talked about it. Mm-hmm. And do you feel that that is a part of motherhood that people don't discuss?
Yeah, not just motherhood, just humanhood, whatever that is. I think self-pleasure for me was about exploring my body, obviously, but I think that women especially are so used to having other people explore their bodies, and we often find out about our bodies through other people, and obviously if you're heterosexual, that's a man. But I remember when I was a kid, obviously before I was a midwife and an adult, I didn't know I had a clitoris. I didn't know what a clitoris was. I'd never been spoken to about it in sex education.
No, actually, they don't even mention it.
No.
Of course they don't.
And my first boyfriend definitely didn't know what a fucking clitoris was, I can tell you that.
You never even mentioned it. No. I think I faked orgasms for the first 4 years of my sexual life.
Oh, hell
yeah. Of course, absolutely.
And then suddenly out of nowhere, bang, age 21, first ever orgasm. And I said to my boyfriend at the time, I was like, what what the fuck was that? And he goes, I think you just had your first orgasm.
That's
and I was like,
amazing.
Oh my heart's mind blown. Oh, it's never been as good since. No. It's incredible, right?
Yeah, it absolutely is. And I want to be really open and honest with my kids and just say, you know what? Touching yourself is not only normal, but encouraged. Mm. And if you do that in the privacy of your own space, then like fill your boots and do it as much as you want. I think self-pleasure for me has been about reclaiming my body. After I had my children, I really lost a lot of confidence and I was very depressed about how my body looked because I just didn't expect it to change so much. I thought, you know, that horrible phrase, it was going to snap back. And I was, just really surprised about the differences how it looked now after children. So self-pleasure, I think, you know, the more orgasms I gave myself, the more my confidence grew. Mm. And I think that it has so many benefits in terms of, you know, relationships and, confidence and everything. I think it's really important.
You know what, though? Going back to the media, just thinking about it, it's always like teenage boys, isn't it? Yeah. Wanking, you know, like on the in-betweeners. They're the
visuals.
The visuals and the representation that we grow up with. You never hear about girls doing that.
Wanking.
Yeah, you'd never. Awkward.
But she's doing so well.
I'm doing better now.
No, you've come on loads.
Should we just say, look in my eyes and say wanking just one more time?
No, don't make me do that.
Yes, do it.
Come on.
Wanking.
Yes!
I feel free.
And those baby blue eyes look straight into my...
This is the best moment on the podcast in 2 years.
I need a drink now.
Oh, she's just got all red.
No. Well done, my darling. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you. I'm touching you now.
Thanks.
Oh, God. Why do you even have to make it that way? I wouldn't have even thought that if you had said it.
The way that Natalie was looking at me.
These are just my eyes. I have this kind of seductive look I give everyone.
You do. No, I think George is right because it is... it's almost like... we're not supposed to do it.
Yeah. And obviously sex education, they don't teach girls how to masturbate or that you can masturbate or, you know, the different ways to do it. And I think it's important to discuss it much more freely without the shame attached to it. Because, you know, I did a thing on Instagram recently and asked them what... I asked women how they feel about masturbation and, you know, what they were told as children. And there were so many horrible things that they were told, like, you know, I was going to go blind if I... Yeah, and...
Wow.
And they would lose friends and there's just some...
From their parents?
Other kids.
Oh, I was going to say, blimey.
Yeah.
I think it's a weird one, isn't it? Like body parts with toddlers because they don't quite understand what they're saying.
Yeah.
Like the other day, for instance, my son was in the car and he's... I don't know where this has come from. He was going, he's got a teacher at school called Jan, and he was going, Jan's a man, she's got no boobies. Jan's a man, she's got no boobies. And I was literally like,
oh my God.
Laughing without showing him that I was laughing.
Wow.
Because I was thinking, but inside I was thinking, where on earth has that come from?
Yeah.
Firstly, I don't say the word boobies. I don't know where you'd hear the word boobies.
Little mates, it's their little mates.
Like, I feel like that must have come from a mate, maybe then from a parent.
Boobies. He's three. He's not like he's
at preschool. Like, boobies, Jan's a man. She's got no boobies.
Jan. I've got no boobies. Like, I'm not a man.
Well, but I think Jan has got boobies.
Oh.
I mean, I just don't know where it came from. And also, how do you even address that? Because I didn't say anything.
No,
I just carried on driving
and
thought, I'm not going to pay any attention to this and hopefully it's just going to go away.
No.
But one day there'll be a time where it doesn't go away.
I probably would have asked where they heard that from.
Yeah.
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 Because that might be going around a lot at school and she might hear it.
Poor
Jan. That wouldn't be very... I know. I feel sorry for her now.
You go give her a hug.
Jan, if you're listening...
Yeah, Jan, we love
you, Jan. It's okay not to have boobies.
Exactly.
Exactly. Jan's probably sitting there thinking, oh, I have got boobies. My boobs are brilliant.
It's They're a lovely seat cup underneath this awful outfit that I've got to wear at nursery. So can we talk about Friday Finger?
Yes.
Where did that come from? And what subjects do you kind of say fuck off to?
It depends on what's bothering me at the time. Usually something triggers it.
And what is it, for people that don't know?
Okay, so every Friday I stick up my middle finger to something that's, you know, bugging me. So it could be the patriarchy, it could be to beauty standards, it could simply be to somebody who's being a bit of a dick. It's just something that people can look forward to every Friday. And I quite like the... I think people like that familiarity. I can't say it. Familiarity.
I can't say it either.
I think people like that...
it's familiar
some,
to them.
Some routine in content. Right. And it's nice to come back and see that every Friday. They know it's coming and they're waiting for it to see what it is this week.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So, like, for example, would you do it if someone bumped into you on the train? You'd be like, fuck you to the lady that bumped into me on the train, like someone did to me.
No. And I'm not an angry person. I'm like, oh, they probably just made a mistake. Like, we all bump into each other sometimes.
Zoe's sitting there with a voodoo doll of the woman that bumped into her.
She did this morning, and
I
just turned around to her and said, I have to get to work as well. And then she was like that. And I thought, don't be mean to me, you're being a meanie. Yeah. So if I had the...
But then you've got to think about, you know what, they've probably had a really fucking shit day.
No.
They've probably, you know, their husband might be fucking about, or they've lost their job, or who knows?
Yeah, something's happened. They've got...
Yeah.
The sushi man was rude as well.
The sushi man was rude.
Annoying. It is annoying.
He is. But he's
a bigger
sushi.
Thing.
What you've got to think about is, look, their lives are probably really fucking shit, so I'm going to be even nicer to you if you're going to be horrible.
Kill them
to
with kindness.
Yeah, absolutely.
I feel like we could just sit here and chat to you forever and ever and ever, but I've just seen the clock and we can't.
Aww.
I know. So at the end of every podcast we like to talk to our guests again and ask them for their five favourite
products. Anything.
What kind of products? Beauty or...
Anything. Like something you use every
day. Vibrator.
Yes.
You could say a vibrator.
You can say anything.
Whatever you want.
Okay. That you love.
Within reason that I'm not going to
No, you can say whatever you want.
You can. I'm brave.
Okay, so it's definitely got to be my vibrator, which is Lilo.
Yes.
I love my Lilo.
Yeah,
it's like
me too.
My BFF. So I go, my one is the Sonar.
The Sonar
2.
Yeah, got it.
And got it.
This is a running theme.
Yeah, everyone loves the Sonar.
They do. The Sonar is the
is
one.
Is it? Has it been mentioned before?
Well, me and Anna Whitehouse got given one when we were doing our Sunday nights together on Heart.
Oh.
We got sent one and Anna like freaked out and then left us like not even charging in the kitchen. And then I sent her a photograph that the next night of it next to our bed, fully charged. And I went, I'll let you know how this goes. Then like 18 minutes later or something, I came back on. I was like, that was incredible. She goes, 18 minutes?
Yeah, that's actually a long time.
Well, no, we had sex as well.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
The first time I used it, I think, I came within, I don't know, not even a minute.
Yeah.
It was really that quick.
Yeah.
You
need to get one.
Okay, it's on my my Christmas list.
Seriously, need to get one. Okay, so that's my first one. And another product is my MAC lipsticks. Well, that's more than one.
Yeah.
But I love the retro matte lipstick range because you put them on in the morning and they will last all day. So that's my next one. What else?
The MAC lipsticks are great.
Yeah, they are.
They really are.
Yeah. Looking in your bag.
Sorry, I'm just looking in my bag for inspiration.
Oh, yeah.
So this is my my perfume or my fragrance, which is the Clarins. How do you say that?
Dynamiciente.
Yeah, whatever. It sounds a lot more sexy when you say it. That's
Emo
another one.
Is cracking up.
I love that.
What else?
What about any brands, clothing brands that you love, like Hidden Gems? Because obviously you're big into your fashion.
I am big into my fashion. I mean, I've got a rolling contract with Marks and Spencer's, and I think Marks and Spencer's get quite a bad rap, actually. But when you go in there, you can find some real gems.
We're fans.
Yes, absolutely.
Their coat selection this season season is amazing. Also their co-ords, I wear a lot of, they've got a lot of knitted skirts and tops that are just, yeah, I'm really feeling them this season.
We send a lot of love to M&S because we also really rate their underwear. The Lauren Ray is just so good.
Yeah, it is.
The bra tops with no underwire.
Yeah.
Perfect.
I wore them the whole way through both my pregnancies.
But you should still wear them now.
They're just a bit big now. Just need to buy smaller ones.
Oh,
that's all.
Yeah. I was like, your tits are too big.
Her name is Jan. She got no boobies.
My name is Georgia. I'm a man and I've got no boobies.
What else? I would say.
What moisturiser?
Oh, yeah, you were going to say moisturiser. I like Herbivore. I use a lot of that. I use a lot of face oils, especially at nighttime.
Herbivore. I've never heard of that brand. Have you, G?
No.
Yeah, really. Where do you buy Herbivore? Nice. Online, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah. What else?
Well, that's it, I think. That's
fine.
That's
was that
five?
Yeah, you've done. That's fine. I can't. Yeah.
M&S, Herbivore. Lilo. Eau de...
Clarins. Lilo.
And your lipstick.
And Lila.
Yeah, and Lila. Yeah.
Fine.
Done.
And just before we say final goodbye, because I feel like I feel like I'm going to get something really powerful out of you now. For anybody that's at home and they're struggling to find themselves after, I hate that word, but let's be honest, finding a new you after having baby, advice?
Oh, gosh. I think don't be afraid to put yourself first sometimes. I think it's really easy to feel like you owe everyone everything and you come really far down at the bottom of that list. But it's really important to take some time out to really indulge in yourself and replenish that cup. I'm a big believer in you can't pour from an empty cup. That's the one.
Yes.
So yeah, just make sure you fill up that cup.
Yay!
Love that.
Natalie,
thank
what
you.
An absolute treat. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
It's a dream. Oh, she was amazing.
She was.
Wasn't she?
Yeah, really inspirational. And so passionate as well.
Yeah, you could feel it coming off of her, couldn't you? That she just really knew who she was.
Yes.
Like, I really felt like we saw the real Natalie sitting there. And I love how she uses, like, her creativity with her fashion, as well as, like, dance and getting her kit off. And she's just out there.
Yeah, she's just embracing who she is and going for it.
Yeah. Would you ever dance around on Instagram in your bra and pants?
No.
There is no way that we would do that.
The day you see me do that, send help. Because that's not me.
No.
That's the thing, isn't it? But I love watching someone
do it. Oh, I'm
brilliant.
Me. Yeah, she was amazing. Absolutely brilliant.
So I think it's a bit of a weird one to do products for this, because I don't think there's five products that can help you find your identity after becoming a mum or find the new you. But there are lots of things you could do to help you, like, not lose yourself.
Yeah, or just rediscover the person that you are after having your kids.
Yeah, exactly. There's a great initiative. It's actually a company called Digital Mums. And their hashtag is Work That Works. So they're all about helping mums find new careers. So they train mums up in social media or, like, digital stuff.
digital online stuff?
Yes, all of the techno world. And then they obviously help them find work and help them set up their own business and find work that actually works around having kids. So I'm sure there's lots of things like that, but that's one example.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
What an amazing thing to do, because, you know, you can feel so lost and have zero idea what that new person wants to do.
Exactly.
And to rediscover. So that's brilliant. Yeah, we love that. We also think, Georgia and I, and I know it sounds slightly kind of like, oh, just go and get a blow dry, but changing things like your hair.
Yeah.
Like, for example, putting some curls in it, or if you always wear it curly, straighten it, or have it cut, or have it dyed, or whatever, can really help you find the new you, and just to feel like, you know, yeah, I'm stepping out. I'm not the old person any longer. I've got a new look. I feel great. You can use it creatively with fashion as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Mixing up your wardrobe.
Yeah, if you've been, you know, wearing black the whole pregnancy, going out and buying a really jazzy, bright pink animal print coat.
Yeah.
That's going to make you feel confident and, just different, yeah. I guess. Or things like taking up a new hobby.
Yeah, it's a great idea.
Yeah.
Like, my best friend Ben, who is the worst singer in the whole entire world, has taken up singing lessons because he's like, I want to do something different. I want to tap into that inner songstress. I was like, you're shocking. Stop sending me videos of flying without wings.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, Ben, if
when
you're listening.
When Axel was first born, James and I started having Spanish lessons.
Hola.
I mean, that's as far as we got.
Really?
Literally. No, we did it for a few weeks and then realised we wasn't really sure where we were going with
but
it.
Like, maybe it could be dance lessons.
Yeah, exactly.
Just, you know, taking up some painting, just whatever you love, really.
Taking yourself out of your comfort zone or doing something that makes you feel like you.
Go and be a life model.
Go and be a life. You'd love that, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah. me and Starmy Sunday together.
Get naked.
Listen, that finishes off the podcast for this week. Thank you so much for listening. As always, we would love you to rate, review and subscribe to our podcast, Mobile Mamas, because that kind of spreads the word around.
It does. And if you want to drop us a line, it's at Made by Mamas or on Zoe's own channel at Zoe Hardman.
And we love you long time. We'll see you next week for more chats.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.